That is the explanation.
Hello, this is Doris Cass, also known as Natalie, your general host. I'm going to call myself a general host. I guess I'm the host for tonight. Tonight's discussion is going to be on past lives, part two. We had such a great time. Oh, and excuse my bird. That's resident bird Leo. You know, he's got to put his two cents in. But anyway, this is past lives two. Have we existed before in the physical world, or do we live only one life? And of course, deja vu is part of it. And without any other thoughts on my part, I'm going to send it right over to Stars Maya, who will be Maya on the show. And go ahead, take it away.
Well, welcome, everyone. And if you tuned in last week, hopefully you'll find this just as fascinating, if not more so, as we go a little bit deeper into detail. And if you're a new listener, you shouldn't have a prerequisite of having to have listened last week to get something out of this. So we want, first of all, I want to welcome everyone that's listening. And I really feel that some of what we say can resonate with you and maybe provide some answers. We really would enjoy hearing from you. Any of your comments that maybe support the theory of past life or reincarnation, or on the opposite spectrum, if you believe that that's just rubbish and this is the only life we have, we'd like to hear your opinion as well and your input. The number to call is 347-838-9736. That's if you'd like to call in, and you can just use your first name or, you know, please don't be shy. You can call yourself Miss, you know, Miss or Mrs. or Mr. It doesn't matter to us. And at this time, I do want to recognize those in the chat room. We have experts that are working very hard, and we work hand in hand, and they're a great support. We support each other, and they're there to work along with us, but they also will take questions, and they do mini readings, and so we really appreciate their input. And so right now you're speaking with Maya, and I'm Stars Maya on Star Psychics, and after I speak for a little bit, I'll be turning it over to Denise. And if you'd like to find her on Star Psychics, she is under the name of Cosmic Denise. So let's go ahead and get started. So we covered a little bit last week, and the panel, you know, what you're hearing is our belief system. When I say opinions, these are more professional opinions, and of course there's a little bit of our personal opinion, but there's certainly not a right or wrong way. Each of us had a little bit of variance in our views, and I always say that I love that about spirituality, is because there's many different views, and all of them, there's some truth, and so whatever resonates with you, none of us know everything, none of us have the total answer. What information I provide or Denise provides, that doesn't mean that's the only way of seeing it or viewing it. We're just simply sharing with you our experiences, our education, and our spiritual connection. We do have that. We do all our spiritual experts. So one thing that I think I'm going to start out with is that the panel that we had last week, there were four of us, and we all do support the idea of reincarnation and that there is a lot of reasons for why we return and we live more than one life. And I'm just going to kind of refresh a little bit. We talked about things like, for example, feelings of deja vu, which can have alternate explanations as well, or a fascination with a place. Let's say, for example, you know, you live in the United States, but from the time you can remember as a young child, you've just been fascinated with New Zealand or with Africa. And when you see pictures or you read books about such a place, you just have this strong longing. Another thing that I come across are clients that have such an affinity to a much earlier time. For example, let's say a male client that is, he's an architect in this life, but he resonates with and he just feels so pulled to Western era. And he just feels that that is so strong that, and that to me, I would define that as saying that that person lived in that era and in that lifetime, and therefore they, you know, they have that yearning. And often, you know, karma is mixed in, and some of the panels discuss that karma was mixed in with past lives, and we spoke about just a lot of different, you know, little branches of past lives and what it means. I do follow universal law and believe that we are here to live in the present and we're not to be bogged down. But that being said, if you're listening, I do feel that sometimes, I call it bleed over, and sometimes we can have memories. Now, they're not memories in terms of, when I use the word memories in this context, I'm not talking about an actual memory of doing something, but there's bleed over where something comes up and it's actually because it resonates because it was something in a past life. And one thing that I'm going to talk about later are fears. And I'm talking about ungrounded or unfounded fears. I believe that people that have a very, very strong fear of something that they've never had a negative experience or even an experience at all with, but yet the thought of it, it just causes just such an extreme fear and such an overreaction, even to the point of being a physical reaction, you know, that flight or fight syndrome that occurs when we're in a situation. So I think I've jabbered enough here, and with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over. Right now, just to let you know, again, this is Maya, and right now on the panel, we have myself and Denise, and it may very well be that Cheyenne and James will be joining us later on, and we'll let you know when they come in, but for now, let's turn it over to Denise.
Hi, everybody. This is Denise. Thank you, Maya. I absolutely agree. I think sometimes when we have these immense phobias, and usually you'll recognize that there's an immense phobia that comes in from a past life because it will come in early. Say your child's having night terrors or they're very fearful of going into certain places. I remember as a child, I was terrified of car washes and enclosed places that were kind of dark and there was a lot of loud noise. So I knew there had to be some link to a past life where I might have been in a dark, enclosed place where there might have been loud noises going around, maybe a war zone, things of that nature. So it can definitely be brought about pretty early in terms of indicating if maybe it's a phobia that's linked to a past life versus phobia that's developed in this particular life based on a bad experience. And again, it usually will show up pretty early on, going into maybe around, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's kind of on the age where I was, like, really terrible of these car washes. So I think it's just one of those things where you can really pinpoint just based on when those fears seem to be coming about. But also there could be just repressed energy that you kind of brought in from this life that might manifest even a little later than that, possibly around 7, 8, 9, or 10. You know, there might be a trigger that brings it all back. So there are definitely different time periods when phobias might be linked to past lives, and you can kind of put the two and two together. But majority of the time I find that it deals with a lot of the youth, you know, your elementary years, when you can pretty much put the link back. Another thing is sometimes you might have simply just had an experience where you were, again, just kind of not, it didn't exactly happen to you, but you watched it or you experienced it through mainly just sight. Maybe, again, if you were in a war zone and you were seeing everything that was going on, it made you maybe didn't trust people, or maybe if you saw your family get attacked or murdered, something of that nature, you might be a little distrustful coming into the next life of people, places, things, Again, the energy, loud noise, and things of that nature. So it's really important to try and catch those early on if children that are experiencing night terrors or anything of that nature, to try and see if there is a link. And then you can really start talking about it, maybe go into regression with the hypnotherapist, anything of that nature. But most of the time, any phobia or fear can be resolved by just facing it. And again, that could be through communicating about it or simply facing the fear if it's, say, spiders or snakes. You know, again, you could have lived somewhere where there was lots of snakes. You could have been bitten by a snake, died by a snake, things of that nature. So traumatic experiences usually come in with those types of phobias because something traumatic happened in a past life. But again, nothing in our past life controls our present life. We can always take the steps to heal it and move forward. And that's what we need to do with any fear for that matter, whether it came in a past life or it's something in the present state. We need to definitely face it head on and then resolve it from there and move forward with a healthier mindset, mind, body, and spirit. So kind of like my two cents when it comes to, you know, phobias and fears that might stem from past life.
Okay, great. Thanks, Denise. That was very enlightening, and everything resonates. And I would like to mention once again, we'd love to hear from you. And the number to call in, you don't have to listen by calling in. There's instructions on the site and many ways to listen. However, if you'd like to call in, the phone number is 347-838-9736. I want to touch a little bit on some of what Denise said and what I brought up. And I would like to also remind our listeners that it's very complex, some of the reasons why, you know, there's various views on why we return. And generally most of us in the spiritual world, you know, our profession, agree that it has to do with learning lessons. But it can also be very complex and very subjective to our belief systems as far as how that is all worked out. So I do feel that there are times when we're almost thrown from one physical life to the next, and perhaps we were not given enough time to, you know, kind of retreat and regroup, if you will, just to kind of use to simplify it. And oftentimes when we go from one physical life very quickly into the next, I feel that that's sometimes when we can experience that bleed over, and so we have these lingering issues that are attributed to past life. So if you're listening and you find yourself troubled by certain things that you just can't put your finger on or they don't seem to make logical sense, that would be a great time to conduct a session with any of our talented experts because they can help you work through that. And Denise was mentioning about fears. And, for example, myself, now some people that are in the profession are able to regress themselves, and at other times they seek the help of someone else. There are many experts that can regress you and can take you if you're interested or, you know, give you some information, a detailed reading about a past life, just out of curiosity. But one thing that I'm self-aware of that I discovered is I love the water, and we've owned a boat for many, many years. I love being out on the lake. I just absolutely love it. However, when it comes to the ocean, and especially a large ship, but even something as small as a ferry, and I don't mean a, you know, a Tinkerbell ferry. I mean like a ferry that crosses the river. Anytime I'm faced with that, regardless, like taking a cruise, I consider, you know, how much fun that would be. I literally feel almost panic-struck at the thought of being out on the ocean and being, you know, even what I'm trying to say is I'm not talking about a rickety little sailboat, which for a lot of people, excuse me, that might seem a little fearful. I'm talking about these huge, gigantic, you know, cruise type or big yachts are definitely put together well, boats or ships, I should say, ships on the ocean. It doesn't matter, and there's no logical reason because I love water. Some people have a fear of water, and that might be related to an incident in their physical life. But I know that that is bleed over from a past life. I have not regressed to the point of being able to specifically point out, but obviously something very traumatic, as Denise mentioned, usually it's going to be a traumatic experience, and something obviously occurred traumatic to me, and it was the ocean, because there's a completely different feeling. So I don't have a fear of water. I'm a good swimmer, and we have I live in Arkansas, and it's just filled with all types of rivers, and they're very deep, fast-moving rivers. I have no fear of white water, no fear of jumping out the middle of the lake where it's 500 feet deep, but the ocean brings a completely different feeling. And that brings me to another subject that I'd like to bring up. People that suffer from panic and anxiety, please understand that I am in no way trying to say or to lessen that anxiety and panic is a physical disease. It is physiological. It is not something that's in our head. It is not something that we have control over. It is a disorder, and it can be very disruptive. However, I found by working with clients that suffer from this syndrome or disease, I feel that one of the reasons why this disease exists or can sometimes really take away from their quality of life, when we have looked at their past lives, we've often been able to find some reason, and I've been able to work with clients and help them overcome some of it. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not giving medical advice. And I would never give medical advice. You should always follow the advice of your physician or your therapist. However, that does not mean that some spiritual work, healing or regression or taking a look at past lives couldn't be beneficial. It certainly couldn't, you know, hurt you. We're not, when I do something like that, I'm not manipulating your body. I'm not, you know, chopping your back massage or you know, anything like that. So, and I don't want anyone to think that I'm suggesting that it's not real. It is very, very real. Found that people, especially, I would have to say most especially with the anxiety and panic, it's because they have come very quickly from one life to the next. And although they may not have, again, a specific memory, oh, I was in a fire, or, oh, I was chased, or you know, oh, I was robbed, or, you know, I lost my family at a young age, or I lost my life at a young age. They may not have specific memories. It's just that feeling, which anxiety is the feeling and panic, the feeling of something doomed, something bad is about to happen, and therefore our body responds to that, just like they would if we were being accosted in the street. So I just wanted to bring that up, that for those of you that do suffer panic and anxiety, that's something to consider, that some spiritual work could very well help you. It's not meant to take the place of a physician or even traditional counseling, but it definitely, I've definitely worked with clients where it has helped them to cope and to keep their levels of anxiety and panic down, and we've even sometimes uncovered things that have been causes, so it's enabled them to do things they were not able to do. So with that, I'll go ahead and turn it over to Denise.
Yes, thank you, Maya. I absolutely agree with your thoughts as well. And one point that I wanted to bring up is, if you are looking for a way to actually learn a little bit more about a possible past life and its connection, absolutely, you can definitely you know, go to the website and get a reading with, you know, Maya or I or any of the other wonderful psychics. But there's actually a really great way to look at it through an astrological point of view. When I do chart readings for people, I definitely look at their north node and their south node. The south node is the lessons that you have learned already. This is your past life. These are the areas that you have mastered, and now you must have that as your foundation to push you forward in this life. The north node is what you must accomplish. That's going to be your pull pretty much throughout life to find greater happiness with yourself, find the lessons that you're supposed to learn in this life, and really just complete your course by going through everything that's in that north node. Now, every north node and south node comes with a zodiac sign. And once you know a little bit about the zodiac signs, you can definitely pinpoint the possible themes that might have occurred in your past life and possible themes that you're going to be attracted to and definitely need to accomplish in this life. Especially as you get to around 30 onward, you pretty much are straight north node all the way. And your south node might just come in as a protective measure till you get to around age 30. But it's very interesting if you ever choose to get an astrology chart with myself or anybody else that might do them, is to really look into that south node, north node connection, because you can really learn a lot without having to go too much into a hypnotic state or do too much deep thinking on why you might be afraid of what you're afraid of or connected to what you're connected to. So it's just a really great means, and I'm just, you know, a fan of astrology in general and all the fabulous things your chart can tell you. The one area that you might want to look into if you've never had a chart done or just new to astrology and might want to look further into it, is definitely look at that south node.
Okay, well, great. Thank you. Were you done, Denise?
Oh, yeah, I'm done. Sorry. Go ahead,
okay, Mike. I wasn't sure if I didn't want to interrupt you if you were just taking a breather.
No, I'm good. Sorry.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing that. I don't do any astrology, and I know that there are a lot of listeners, I'm sure, and a lot of clients that really resonate with astrology and having, you know, their charts and all that done, and I won't even try to explain any of that. So thank you for sharing some of that, because I don't know the correct terminology. The next thing that I'd like to bring up, that if you did tune in last week, you heard it. If not, we talked about that we have some people call them soul groups, some inner circles, some familiars, some soulmates. And although we did have some differing ideas on perhaps the number, the reasons, we agreed that there are certain people that are in our lives physically that return with us, and even though the relationship can be different, they could be your brother in one life, they could be your father in another life, it could be a soulmate, a romantic partner, that we each have around us a group, if you will, or a circle of people that seem to return and are present in most, if not all, of our physical lives. And what I wanted to touch on is animals. And we did discuss that as well. And we, again, this was just our belief system and our feelings, and we all felt that animals reincarnate only as animals, and, you know, there are some that believe that's not true, that humans can come back as animals and vice versa. But I personally do not believe that. I do not support that. I believe that they may vary a little bit in their species, but humans always return to life as humans. They may do have a different gender. And animals, let's take, for example, a dog. A dog, you know, the canine species, be a wolf, a coyote, and then we have approximately 170 breeds recognized by the American Kennel Club. So maybe in one life it would be a pit bull, and in another life it might be a German shepherd. So I believe that is possible. Again, that's just my beliefs. But I believe, aside from our totems, because our animal guides and totems, that's a little bit different subject matter. I also believe that we have animal familiars. I call them familiars, animals that return. And actually, because the lifespan of most animals, and I think this is mostly true and mostly with dogs, cats, and even horses. That's not to say that other animals can't be present, but it seems strongest in those species. And because their lifespan is so much shorter than the human lifespan, I actually believe that it's possible, and I feel that I've encountered that in my life and other people have, that we lose a pet and, you know, it might be 2 years, be 6 months. It could be 5 years. But I believe that oftentimes animals reincarnate, and the reason is because there's a bond that's been formed with us, and they want to continue to be a part of us. So they return. There may be some lessons that are involved, but I feel that that particular reincarnation, an animal that we've loved, that we've cared for, returns simply because of the bond that we share and the love, and so they simply want to be with us. So that's something to keep in mind, too, that as a listener, if you've lost an animal and you've had the experience of, let's say that, you know, whether it's a cat or a dog, say that you're looking for another pet, you decided that you're ready, or maybe you have several animals and you're ready to add a new one to the family, and you're visiting, whether it's a shelter or it's a breeder or a pet store, although I have to say I don't support pet stores because of the way that they get their animals, but I won't go off on that tangent. So, and everyone feel fortunate that I'm not doing that. But if you've ever experienced where you've said, say you have a pet named Lucky, and you know you're not actively seeking a replacement, because you feel that was a unique animal, let's say a dog, a very unique dog. And so it's not like you're going out and you're searching, you know, I want to find the same breed, the same dog. I want this to have the same color, the same personality. In fact, you're actually open to even the opposite, because you don't want to make comparisons. You want to be fair to the animal. However, in your search, you end up. And yes, sorry, my dog did bark. I do have dogs. Let's say that there's something uncanny. Oftentimes when it's a familiar that's been reborn into the physical world and has the same spirit or soul as the pet that we lost, and by lost I mean is passed over, not we couldn't find it. And the animal will do something very unusual, and so the people helping you out, again, whether that's a breeder or a shelter or a pet store, will say to you, wow, that's odd. You know, Max, we've never seen Max act that way, or Max has never done that. And oftentimes they'll come up and they'll look in your eyes. Now, obviously that does happen just when there's a bond that's formed, that's just a new bond. But you should feel something the same as you would feel with a human that you just have that immediate connection with. So if that happens to you, even if it's a different breed of dog, or if it's a cat and it's a different color or a different breed of cat, please know that the chances are very, very good that your animal has reincarnated. And again, because animals' lives are so much shorter compared to humans, I find that it's not uncommon. In fact, I want to say that it's almost common for that to occur and for us to be drawn to a particular animal because we have shared lifetimes with that animal before. So that's something that I find that very amazing, and I think it's, you know, it doesn't always happen, but if you have a beloved pet and they have passed over, one thing that I very much believe in and I feel to be absolutely true, again, just my belief system, is that you're going to be reunited at some point, whether it's in the afterlife or the afterlife and a future life that you'll be living. Please know that you are going to be reunited with that pet, and it's very, very likely that you're going to share another life with that pet. So with that, I'll go and move on to, let me just mention the number again. We'd really love to hear from you if you've had an experience and you felt, and even just quickly, I'd like to say in some instances that does occur with children as well. If we, you know, and I'm very sorry, I don't want to touch on subjects that would cause anyone heartache, but if you had an unfortunate experience of losing a child early and you had another child and you just felt strongly that the child was the child that you lost, or even someone else like a mother or a grandfather, an uncle, a brother, and you just say, gosh, you know, their mannerisms, even as a baby, remind me so much of Uncle Harvey or Aunt Lily or Grandpa Bob. It chances are, again, that spiritual energy has reincarnated to again be a part of your life. So reincarnation, I guess the gist of what I want to get at is that although, you know, for humans, most of the time reincarnation occurs in another lifetime or dimension, depending on your beliefs. It's definitely possible that reincarnation can occur with a human or an animal that we have shared lifetimes with in the present physical world. So I'm just curious, Denise, I'm not sure, and of course anything else that you want to add, please feel free to, but I was just curious your feelings on that subject, where you stand with that.
All right, thank you, Maya. I do actually feel very similar to it. I think a lot of times there could be a number of things that are going on when we feel that somebody might be, you know, a relative or a child that passed pretty early on and they've come back within a year or two later, and same with animals. And yes, I do feel that is definitely a case where an animal could come in for a short amount of time or for their lifetime period, but they had to go through their course. So it's kind of like we come here with our guidebook, with everything that we have to check off. And then we check off, because that's, you know, the path that we chose. We have certain goals in life, you know, soul lessons that we just need to accomplish, possibly from karma in a past life. So once we check all those things off, we might actually have coursed another life to finish up another course with possibly a particular soulmate. And this could be, of course, in the animal realm as well. And we just might come back around to check off the other course. It's almost like I tell people that being on Earth is like being on a college campus. We pick our majors, we pick our minors, you know, we want to graduate with honors, and we go back home to mom and pop up in heaven, you know what I mean? So I always like to give that analogy to help people understand why we're here, so we don't get so grounded to the life and don't, you know, totally forget about the fact that we're only here for a short amount of time and then we get to go back home. So with animals and as well as humans, I do feel sometimes we might just get a double major, so to speak. You know, because we've got different people in our charted life that we need to be here for. And with animals, I feel they truly are created for our well-being, for our peace, for our sanity on this third dimensional lower level plane. Could you imagine the world without animals? My goodness, we'd all just be mad crazy. So I do feel animals are definitely here to keep us sane, to keep us understanding love, God's love, and the animals are pure love at the end of the day. So they definitely are here for that purpose and that reason, and sometimes they know that in their, you know, kind of charted course that we're going to continue to need and grow from that, but they have other things that they need to accomplish. And I feel that's more in the case of, say, children and things of that nature. For example, there was a child that, what is it, the boy in the bubble, and there are other children that come in for a short amount of time, and it's mainly to be a sacrifice. you know, through their experience and through their death, we learn that, you know, there might be causes to other illnesses, and the research that was done for just their purpose on their life really has helped millions of people after them. So sometimes I feel like there are very sacrificial type of life courses that we sign up for and we come back. And, of course, there is, again, the option to also continue that course just in another, you know, formation of coming in through, you know, the baby's energy and going through childhood and all that to go on another course. So it's quite possible. It's definitely not something that's impossible. And it's definitely something that I've seen more with animals in particular, more so than had it really client experiences on the human level. But based on how I kind of look at the news and things of that nature, and the children that do come in to be sacrifices for the greater good, it does ring a little bit of a bell that, you know, maybe there's more to their life and they'll probably be back around for, say, a mother who lost their child at the same time, you know, from a whole different scenario. And they might come back because they have some karma with that woman that's completely different from the mother they might have had beforehand. So it's a very fascinating and, you know, somewhat complex reality to kind of tune into, but definitely possible from my point of view. Okay, Maya?
Okay, great. Thank you. That was great, Denise. And we actually have someone, I want to make sure I get their first name right, but we actually have a listener that would like to talk with us. So, Natalie, are you there?
Yes, I am, and his name is Angel, and let me connect you with him right now, okay?
Okay.
Okay, Angel, go ahead. You've got Maya and Denise. You're live on the air.
Hello, everyone. How's everyone doing today?
Hi, doing well.
Good.
How are you?
I'm good. I actually wanted to offer a different perspective with regards to souls being reborn in the body of animals. According to Vedic Eastern perspective, the animal form of life is put here so that the spirit can experience certain types of life. So, for example, like if somebody were to enjoy, say, eating food, and all they do is eat food, and they like, you know, they're a couch potato. So it's like, you know, God says, okay, well, I've created a body form here where you can just sit around and sloth and eat, you know, and then that soul will be reborn in the body of a pig, you know, so that it can live out and exercise that desire that it had, you know, or that karma that it generated in the human form of life. And then once it's done, it can be reborn back into a human. But, yeah, like, and so each form of life is to experience a different, or to satisfy, let's say, one of those different desires that you may have. So even if someone is one who enjoys constantly eating meat, let's say, you know, you have the tiger form of life, you have a lion, you have a dog, you have a cat. You see,
mm-hmm.
and you know, this was something that I kind of found too is also in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, where I believe Noah's speaking, and he's saying that, you know, if you kill a dog unjustly and you're killing, you know, an ox or a cow unjustly, then I'm going to require your blood, you know, from the cow or the dog. The dog is going to, and now what you did to the dog will do to you in return. You know, so in essence, the human soul now has to be reborn in the form of a dog for that, you know, that payment or that recompense to be done. And I, you know, I found that kind of interesting because it's like, you know, the soul is indestructible. So it has, in order for it to continue living in this world, it needs those bodies. And so each body is to satisfy that different desire. And so once you're in the human form of life, then you've experienced you know, everything you have to and everything is good to go. You know, like you say, you have good karma, then you have the option of not being reborn again. You know, so I wanted to offer that little perspective there in regards to the soul being reborn in an animal's body.
That is a very fascinating perspective, and I'm so glad that you shared that with us. You know, and it really goes to a place of, as you were saying, that the soul kind of, it doesn't require one or the other. It just requires the, you know, the karmic lesson, the karmic experience.
Mm-hmm.
And based on the circumstance, you're saying that to correct that circumstance through the energy that it was, I don't know. I hope I'm saying that right. I'm getting your perspective, though. I completely get what your perspective is. Not coming out exactly how I would like to say it. But you're saying, like, based on the circumstance, the soul will go back to rectify the circumstance. And if it was against an animal, for example, it might go back in the form of an animal to, you know, get its justice with the animal that might now be a human. Is that what you're kind of saying?
Right. So
okay,
like,
yeah, that's fascinating.
To make that feedback, they will switch roles, so to speak.
Right.
Oh, yeah,
well,
yeah.
This is Maya. Thank you, Angel, for your input and your for sharing your view with us. We appreciate you had a little bit different outlook, and we appreciate you being on. We're going to move on now. So thank
mm-hmm.
you so much for sharing your thoughts and ideas with us. And you have a great evening.
You too.
All right, thank you.
Okay, this is Maya, and we appreciate Angel's view on that. And so, Denise, I know that we're getting close to the end of our time here, and was there anything else that you wanted to bring up or discuss before we close out?
Let's see. Was there another topic? I do feel it's important to, again, just reiterate on the relationship level, because we did have a fabulous question last time, to just make sure everybody understands that with relationships, it's really important to understand that whoever you meet, whoever you come to create a bond with, whether it's good or bad, you know, depending on the circumstance and how you perceive it and the emotional attachments, it's very important to understand that it's a lot of the time, you know, it does due to some type of karmic debt, maybe, from a past life that you might need to rectify. But at the end of the day, it's really important to kind of stay present in the moment, learn all you can with that experience, because relationships are mirrors. Whether they're coming from a past life or they're just in the present state showing you where you need to grow, they're mirrors. Take that as a lesson. Look at yourself in the relationship. Look at the lessons that this particular person, in terms of their qualities, might be teaching you about your own set of qualities, and really almost become non-judgmental in the process and curious about it. Because curiosity, I feel, and open-mindedness can really create so much growth for all of our relationships, especially the relationship with ourselves. So I just want to, you know, can reiterate that point that, yes, relationship issues can definitely come from past life issues and karmic debt, but it's really important to stay present and really work the process from this present lifetime onward. And really, again, be curious and open to learning and growing with the experience instead of just pushing it away, saying, oh, you know, you're wrong, your problem, whatever. You know, do take some type of responsibility for the fact that you've attracted it for a reason, and maybe just look at maybe why by looking at yourself first. Self-responsibility. Okay?
Yes, and I want to comment and then ask you, thank you, Denise. I think that was a great point, and it was really important that you brought that up, because I feel that we do need to touch on that. And one thing that I'm going to add, and then I want to see where you stand with all this, is one thing that I would like to, you know, share with our listeners, I run into quite a bit, is karma is tied into past lives. There is a tie-in, and sometimes the terms, different terms can be interchangeable, and we each may have our own term, but they mean the same thing. But let's go to what Denise said, because what she said is so relevant and so important to people in their relationships, and most especially a romantic relationship, and that is regardless of your sexual orientation. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with your connection. One thing that I think it's important to think about and to remember is that we are here in this life to live in the now, and oftentimes we have karma or we have a past life connection, and we feel a very strong connection to someone. And I define oftentimes when I'm working with a client and they're, let's say they're not able, the relationship is not harmonious, it's very dysfunctional, or there's not a response on the other end as desired. Okay, I define that particular karma as the feeling of supposed to be. Let's say that you meet someone and perhaps things are good for a while, but they start to go south. There could be many, many reasons, just a variety of reasons, but it becomes that the relationship either is not equal, there's not, you know, equal efforts and input. So karma is defined by the feeling of supposed to be. So let's say that we have someone that feels that they're supposed to be, and just to simplify it, let's say that Jim has met Sue, and they began a relationship. The connection seemed very strong. He felt they were meant to be together, and she seemed to reciprocate those feelings. And then after 3 months, she started distancing herself a little bit and ended up wanting to end the relationship. She felt that this wasn't working out. And that can be very, very difficult. That feeling of supposed to be can be very difficult to overcome. But what I have been taught and what I live by and what I believe is that grace overrides karma. And so when we are in a situation, and we talked about soul contracts, so let's say that it was the plan that Joe and Sue were supposed to be together in this lifetime. That's what was agreed upon, and that was part of why they returned to this earth. Of course, that's not the only reason. We all have a myriad of life lessons. But because we have free will can override karma. Nothing is really set in stone or in concrete. So let's say that here we have this guy, Jim or Joe, and he's faced with the situation of feeling this connection, but nothing is being reciprocated to him. And at that time, even though it might have been the plan and it's very difficult, I don't feel that we should allow just that past life connection or that connection, wherever we may feel it comes from, to take control of our entire life to the point that we're not able to move on. We have to learn how to release it, because not everything, even spiritually, I don't feel that everything goes according to plan, that we make choices every day, and regardless of what the intention was, you know, perhaps we had to learn understanding, perhaps we had to learn acceptance, perhaps we had to learn to not have materialistic things or place those as important in our life. So I do feel that all these choices that we make, regardless of what the intention or the plan was, people do stray off of their path and their plan, and therefore their free will and their intention to move forward or let go, I feel, overrides any karma, any past life experience, and sometimes it could even be that was the contract, we're just not aware of it, that we were supposed to be together, and then we were supposed to learn, like Jim was supposed to learn that he had to let go of her and learn to move forward and to do so and be happy. Anytime, so the gist of what I'm saying or what I'm getting at is that saying that, oh, well, I got a reading and we've had past lives together, or I know there's a spiritual connection, I know this is a soulmate, that is not enough to keep a relationship going. There has to be unity. There has to be some equality. I mean, it may be enough to keep things for a while, but at some point, if there has to be a change. And what do you feel about that, Denise? What are your feelings on that?
You know, I have to agree 100%. I mean, I think it's just everything you said is just right on point, and I really don't have much to add to it, to be honest with you.
Okay, so you let me ask you this, Denise. Do you feel that free will can and does override what we would call karma or soul contracts or something that was planned as a lesson and part of why we were reincarnated? You know, this was a specific lesson, but do you feel that we have the ability with our free will to change that, even though it may not be in our highest good to do so, or it may not serve our highest path? Or do you feel that whatever that those lessons are, that no matter what, it's going to be accomplished in this life?
Well, I do feel we do accomplish everything in this life. I think free will is nothing more than detours, and we can sometimes take the detours, and there might be karmic repercussions, but I have to go back to astrology with that one. It's definitely Saturn in the mix. Saturn is the personal trainer planet. But, yeah, I do feel like we have the free will because it's saying if you're not ready to go down that highway, here's another road. It's going to lead you back to the highway, but, you know, you'll at least be able to maybe get in another relationship or get into another situation for your growth, so you will be fully able to complete your task. And the reason I brought up Saturn is because Saturn transits every 2.5 years. So that means we have 2.5 years of a lesson that we're forced to learn. And that's usually a time where people can go off with their free will. But by the time that energy goes into the next sign after that 2.5 years, that last bit of cycle, that last 6 months or so, is go time. So you're forced to pretty much meet all the demands after you've taken that detour of growth, so you can really just rev things up and accomplish them. In some instance, I think, of course, there are some situations where you might make a free will decision and the repercussions come in the next life, but because that, you know, murder, things of that nature, that's a really sensitive topic to really try to explain to people. But those types of situations, you might just, it kind of might just roll over, like roll over minutes. And I don't want to make light of it, but that's just an analogy that I can, you know, give out.
Right. And those are good, very good points, Denise. And I agree with you that eventually, sooner or later, whatever lessons are needed to be learned, we are going to learn. And, you know, my belief is that we are reincarnating to achieve a higher state, which to me is, if we look at the angelic realm, they have complete and total understanding. And there are no, you know, some of the more negative emotions, envy, greed, jealousy, those do not exist, I don't feel, in the angelic realm. They certainly do in the physical world. So we are all learning different lessons at different times. And I kind of support what you're saying, and what you're saying makes a lot of sense, that if we use our free will and let's say we avoid the lesson for that moment, we might be able to distract ourselves or avoid it for a year or two, but something is going to come and enter into our lives where we're going to be faced with it again, is kind of what you're saying. You can run, but you can't hide, is kind of what you're,
that's exactly what I'm saying, Maya. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And then if we're really obstinate, and we really, you know, there's been a few times where I've had clients or situations where I've dealt with the client and it's been the other person, where what was very strongly, I felt, meant to be the soul contract, go completely off off the track, off the charts, and I feel that there will be some type of resolution. If not in this life, as you said, definitely it will come in the form of the next life. So, you know, it's best to try to work with the universe and with the energies. And again, if you're listening, if you have any questions, or if you're just curious, you know, was I a queen? Was I a, you know, did I live in Africa? Was I a tribesman? Was I an Indian princess? You know, I mean, there's so many different things. Was I a cowboy? I mean, who knows? Maybe you were Jesse James or Annie Oakley. We don't know. So if you are curious about just what your past lives are, by all means, go to Star Psychics. There's just all the experts are amazing, and there's many that, you know, if not all, that do past life regressions or past life readings. And also, if you feel that if anything that we've talked about in these last two shows has resonated with you and you feel that something is blocking you or keeping you and it could be related to a past life, we have all different ways. Denise, in addition to being psychic, of course, she does astrology, so she can help you with that. I use my guides, and we have so many experts that use different tools and ways. We can certainly help you to uncover if there's something, if there's some bleed over or something from a prior or past life that is blocking you. But focus on the now. And with that, Denise, did you have anything else that you wanted to add before we say good night?
No, I'm actually good. I think we've definitely gotten in all the topics that we needed to discuss for past lives, too. And I think everybody has a full load of information that they can listen to in the first show and the second show and really understand what past lives mean and what they can actually do to help you in this life and different ways that you can actually discover what your past life was.
I agree. I agree, Denise. It was a pleasure working with you this evening. I think we had a lot of great information that we were able to share with our listeners. And I want to thank everyone for listening and tuning in. And we'll have another exciting and provocative topic next week. So be sure to tune in next week. And you can always go to the archives. If you missed a show, you can go and listen to prior shows if you'd like. And I want to thank everyone in the chat room, all the support and all the hard work that they do. I don't know all their names, but I do want to recognize, I know Stars Priestess Candy, she does so much for all of us, and she works so hard, so I want to take a moment. And I'm sorry, I know there's other people that do as well. I'm just not as familiar. And if you want to have a session with Denise, you can find her. She's Cosmic Denise, Stars Psychics, and I am Stars Maya. And with that, God bless everyone. We thank you so much, and we'll turn it over to our lovely Miss Natalie.
Well, thank you very much. I'm going to share one quick thing because we can go over is that, and you guys are going to laugh, and they're going to laugh in the chat room. I was regressed, and I was a princess. Can you imagine that?
Oh,
I was
wow.
A princess. I was a princess, and the gal who did it, she said to me, every once in a while, she said, you don't do it on Stars, but you can get bratty, like a princess, like, I want it now. I want it to happen now. And I just always think that that's so funny. So sometimes I have to kind of slap myself a little bit and say, now, knock it off. You're not a princess this time. And I will tell you about my cat. I had a cat named Tigger that I lost. He passed away. And I wasn't going to get another one unless that kitten found me. Well, about 10 days later, the vet's office called, and she said, I have a kitten for you. And I said, well, how do you know? She says, it's just got your name written all over it. And I had told them that I wasn't going to go seeking one. It would have to find me. And you know this little man. His name is Muji. He's not little. He's big. He follows me everywhere. He's so loving. He sleeps by my head. He kisses me at night. He's just the babe. I mean, he's just. And I really think he is Tigger again. And Tigger was just this little mush. Like, I mean, oh, he was so meek and easy And I think Muji, probably Muji's got a little bit stronger personality than Tigger had. But isn't that hilarious?
Yeah,
that's
so
very
now,
true.
Listen, everybody, I'm the princess. No. It's too funny.
Well,
I know. It's too funny.
Princess.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, gosh. Anyways, I want to thank also Star's Psychic Priestess Candy. Yes, she does a lot. And, of course, Star's Cosmic Denise and Star's Maya. And we have also Star's Aeneas is in the chat room, and we have a guest. And this has just been a wonderful thing. And I know the other two did not make it because of something important that came up, but I'm sure next week they will be along, and it's really, really nice, and I want to let you guys know how proud I am of the show, and we had Star Shango also in the chat room who was typing some stuff and sending me messages and stuff, so we want to thank him as well. And, well, I don't know what the topic's going to be next week, but I know it's going to be a good one. And I guess I just want to tell everybody how much I love them and thank you. And audio chat is coming to Stars. I'm testing this week. So anybody who does listen to the archives and that got my email, you need to get with me because this is going to be a huge launch. I've got Candy all ready to go with her PR stuff. And, you know, she really promotes everybody big time. And thank you, Maya, for saying that. She said thank you in the room. For, you know, recognizing her like that. So, anyways, okay, everybody have a great evening, and I will see everyone next week, and I love you guys very much. Bye-bye.
Okay, take care, everybody. Bye.